Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. That's why we're gathered here to share this good news that a Savior has been born for you and for me. There's a story about a group of students at an elementary school in Columbine, Colorado. And it was about the time of Thanksgiving, and they were kind of wrapping up their Thanksgiving activities. And they said, what's next? And they thought of Christmas, and so they asked their teacher, can we put on a Christmas play? Now, it was a public school, and the teacher knew probably not, but she sent the kids to the principal. And she would know the answer. And so the kids went and they asked the principal, can we put on a Christmas play? Knowing what she had to say, the principal told the kids, well, our policy does not prohibit you from having a Christmas play, but the school teachers and the staff and the counselors, they can't help at all. They can't be a part of the writing, of the planning, of the production of the event. It's something that if you want to do it, you're going to have to do all the work. And those kids, they thought about it, and their eyes kind of lit up because their teacher said, yes, you could do this. It was kind of like getting a free hall pass, all right? They were on it. And so they recruited some of their parents and their friends to make their own Christmas pageant. And they produced flyers and invited the community, and they built their set. And so on the day of the performance, it was the gym was full. And every program starts with a processional. So you watch the shepherds walk in. They were wearing those brown bathrobes with the rope around their waist. And the wise men, they were wearing their dad's sport coats. But the sleeves were so long, so they had the sleeves like rolled up four times so that it would fit. And then the angels came on wearing white and cardboard wings and the stuff in there, the sparkly thing, the halo. And they all walked in, and at the end was Joseph and Mary. Mary had the best costume because she had this blue robe on, obviously stuffed by like a couch pillow, all right? And she was 9 months pregnant, and if not more, and she walked, and you could tell that Mary and Joseph were tired as they walked in, and they walked into the inn, and they knocked on that door. The innkeeper came up. Said, nope, no room here, go away. And they were kind of, you could see their faces were crestfallen, and whether the innkeeper had mercy, there were some hay bales stacked up over on the side. And so he kind of pointed, there, you can stay there. And so Mary and Joseph, they walked on the other side of the hay bales, and there was some moaning and a scream, and one of the shepherds says, is there a doctor in the house? Doctor, doctor. And sure enough, in the front row, there was a fourth grader who said, yes, I'm a doctor. He was wearing his white lab coat and had a stethoscope around his neck, and he walked back behind the hay bales and said, relax, lady. It'll be okay. I'm here with you. And with another little grunt, and then there were cries of a baby. And the doctor came out with a baby in his hands to present it to the people gathered there. And the doctor said, it's a god. And the crowd loved it. And yet, after the whole event was done, that line stuck in some of their heads. Not, it's a boy or it's a girl. We're kind of used to that. But it's a God. God in flesh. God born as a baby. Tonight I want to think about why. Why was Jesus born? Why was God becoming a man? What was the purpose behind it? When I think about this world, kind of big picture, I think of this world in which we live, is there are definitely some broken parts. You can probably think of some areas around the world where there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain, there's people who are suffering, whether it's because of war, whether it's because of starvation, whether, you know, there's a drug epidemic. But people are suffering around this world. There seems to be wave after wave of natural catastrophes. And you look at this world, you wonder, it's kind of messed up. It's kind of broken. And maybe getting a little bit closer to home, I wonder if we take a honest look at ourselves. Are we a little bit broken too? What I'm thinking about is are we broken in the way that we treat people? Are we always nice? Or are there times when words slip out of our mouth that we wish that we could take back? Or are there times when we know that we have enough for ourselves and we really should share, but we hold on tightly to what we have? Or maybe it's breaking a commandment, one that God has given us. It breaks us. And I look at this world and I look at our condition and I look at our brokenness. Something needs to be done. This last Black Friday, I had the opportunity, finally, to buy a new TV. Anybody else get a new TV Black Friday? I've been asking my wife for 2 years, all right? Can I get a TV? We had a 40-inch screen, which is good size, but I wanted a 55-inch screen, all right? And so I was excited. I was been watching the ads, figuring out exactly what we needed, the best deal for the best money for the system that I had. And I found it, I ordered it, and I waited. Have you ever done that? You'll wait for something you're longing for to come in. And when it came in, I took the TV out of the box, and this is what it looked like. You know, we were so excited, and I plugged it in, and this is what I saw. Oh, it's broken. Now, do you suppose I just said, oh, hey, kids, look, we've got a broken TV. And we stare at it for hours. Ooh, Dad, that's cool. Oh, that's a little red. That's why. Oh, yeah, you know. No, that's not what we did, all right? I got on the phone, and I figured out where I needed to take it back because I wanted a TV that worked the way it was designed to, a TV that had bright colors and it had sound and it worked. I wonder if God looks at our creation, and he says, I want a creation that isn't broken but is whole. People that don't live for themselves but live in love. A world that instead of filled with brokenheartedness, one that is healed, that is whole. And God knew the only way to fix this broken world was to come to be one of us, to send his son, Jesus Christ. This is what God says in Psalm 147. Let's read this verse together. Can you read this with me? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You see, in the Old Testament, they knew God was a God that would take that which was broken and heal it. That which is wounded and bind it up for wholeness to take place. Jesus was born so that he might make this world whole. The path that Jesus took was one that led to the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus took the brokenness of this creation, of our lives, of our hearts. And in a sacrifice, Jesus had to be true God to completely pay for the sins of the world. It was the only way possible for the sins of the world to be paid for is if Jesus were true God. And so Jesus died to pay the sufficient ransom for all our sins. But Jesus was also true man, because on that cross he took my place and your place. He paid the penalty that we deserve because of our brokenness. Because when God looks at us, he says, I want you the way I designed you. Perfect. Eternal. And with sin, we became broken. That God sent his son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him, our sin is washed away. And we become a new creation, the way God designed us, a new spirit, eternal life fills us. Even when we die, what happens? Yet will we live? That's why Jesus came, so that death could be defeated, so that sin could be defeated, so that darkness may be driven out by light. You know, when I think about why did God send Jesus, I found that this poem, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. Some people say that Jesus was just a really good teacher, all right? If God thought that our greatest need was technology, he would have sent us a scientist to figure out all our problems. If God would have thought that our greatest need had been money, he would have sent an economist, all right? If our greatest need would have been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But God says our greatest need is forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior, someone who would save us from our sin through his perfect life, his innocent suffering, his death on the cross, his resurrection of the dead. He's in heaven preparing a place for us, and one day he's going to come back, and this broken world will be done away with, and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. God's waiting on that recall, all right, for this world. But Jesus has begun this process to heal, to make whole, to make well. That's what the angels announced. They said, "Fear not. As you look at the brokenness of this world, the brokenness of your hearts, don't be afraid. For I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a teacher." No. An economist? No. A really good football player? No. "For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." May Jesus, true God, true man, be your Savior today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, you are so good. You love us even when we're hurting, even when we're broken, even when we hurt others and we hurt you. And yet you, oh Lord, in your mercy, sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price, the penalty that we deserve, so that we might receive as the greatest gift ever, forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. Lord, open our hearts to receive this gift. Lord, open our lives that we may live for you. Open our lives that we may live with the same love that you have shown us. Thank you, Jesus, for the good news of joy, of peace, of a Savior. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.